This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Last week, Facebook CEO and founder Mark Zuckerberg testified in front of Congress and was asked, maybe even grilled, about the security standards of his company, the privacy policies that Facebook abides by, and whether or not Facebook needs to be regulated to avoid data breaches like the Cambridge Analytica scandal. Some lawmakers asked valid questions, and others had no clue how Facebook works and came completely unprepared. Still, what's interesting about Zuckerberg's testimony is how guarded he is about the company and its privacy practices, and on the flip side, how oblivious the general public is about the kind of data they put online and how it's being used mainly for advertising, but unfortunately in the case of Cambridge Analytica, for more sinister purposes as well. There is a lot to digest from the two-day testimonies, so if you haven't been caught up on what was said during those 10-plus hours, I suggest you head to YouTube and watch as many clips as you can find, or the ones that you find interesting, and just to get a better understanding of what was said and what might happen to Facebook and online data moving forward. There is a lot of information to digest. But for this episode, I've picked out five crucial notes from Mark Zuckerberg's meeting with Congress, and they have a lot to do with Facebook's potential future business model, how Facebook works with advertisers, that's a big thing, potential regulation and how that could affect social media in general, as well as how even non-users may be uploading data to Facebook without even knowing it. This is 5 for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj, and this episode is called 5 Crucial Notes from Mark Zuckerberg's Congress Testimony.
Number 1.
Let's kick things off with the elephant in the room when it comes to Facebook, and that is advertising. Everyone wants to know how Facebook sells data to advertisers to let them target us better. And the truth is, Facebook doesn't sell data at all, or even rent it for that matter.
Mr. Chairman, you're right that we don't sell any data. There is a common misperception, as you say, that is just reported, often keeps on being reported, that for some reason we sell data. I can't be clearer on this topic. We don't sell data. That's not how advertising works.
Let's say you have a business that is selling skis, okay, and you have on your profile that you are interested in skiing, but let's say you haven't made that public, but you share it with your friends, or right. So broadly. We don't tell the advertiser that here's a list of people who like skis. They just say, okay, we're trying to sell skis. Can you reach people who like skis? And then we match that up on our side without sharing any of that information.
Understood. You don't share that, but they get access to that information so that if they know that they want to market skis to me because I like skis.
Okay. And I also would push back on the idea that we're giving them access to the data. We allow them to reach people who said that on Facebook, but we're not giving them access to the data.
Fair.
It's true. This is probably the most misunderstood portion of the Facebook ecosystem. People often think that their data is being sold to advertisers so that advertisers can target them better. This isn't actually what happens though, because just like Google, Facebook owns the platforms and the data that is on those platforms, and they stand as the middleman between us, the users, and their customers, who are the advertisers. And I'm not just talking about the big-time brands and companies. This same mechanism of targeting the proper audience is used for any kind of Facebook advertising, including small ads placed by small companies and even individual ads placed by individuals. When an advertiser says that they want to target a certain age bracket from a certain country at a peak usage time, Facebook takes their request and then sends it out to those users based on the data that they have of you or a group of people under that same demographic. It's actually pretty simple and pretty standard online advertising practice. Now, the reason why Facebook gets into trouble is because of the number of users they have and the number of apps and companies that are connected to the company that is Facebook, who also have access to some user data without the user actually knowing what they've given up. So while Facebook still does not sell user data to advertisers, people who get their hands on that much data could, theoretically, do so. Mark Zuckerberg himself admitted that Alexander Kogan sold Facebook data to multiple firms and not just Cambridge Analytica, and that the 87 million people affected, that estimate includes all those firms as well. And Zuckerberg himself said that his own personal data was included in the breach and was leaked to Cambridge Analytica or via Cambridge Analytica. Zuckerberg said that his team is investigating every single app that had access to a large amount of information in the past, and if they find out that someone improperly used data, they're going to ban them from Facebook and tell everyone who was affected so that they can take measures to protect data in the future. But here's the problem with that whole scenario. Users don't exactly know how to control their privacy, and that is something else that Zuckerberg addressed during the meeting with Congress.
Every day, about 100 billion times a day, people come to one of our products, whether it's Facebook or Messenger or Instagram or WhatsApp, to put in a piece of content, whether it's a photo that they want to share or a message they want to send someone. And every time, there's a control right there about who you want to share it with. Do you want to share it publicly to broadcast it out to everyone? Do you want to share it with your friends, a specific group of people? Do you want to message it to just one person or a couple of people? That's the most important thing that we do. And I think that in the product, that's quite clear.
So this part is crucial as well, because it means that we as users need to know that just because we use Facebook doesn't mean we should blindly allow our data to be used by the company itself or other third-party companies who are also connected to the platform. The argument against this is that Facebook settings are way too complicated and aren't user-friendly enough, which is also something that Zuckerberg said that he's working on so that everyone knows exactly who they're sharing what with.
Number two.
Well, Senator, my position is not that there should be no regulation. Okay. I think the internet is increasingly
important. You embrace
important.
Regulation?
I think the real question, as the internet becomes more important in people's lives, is what is the right regulation, not whether there should
but
be or not.
But you as a company welcome regulation?
I think if it's the right regulation, then yes.
You think the Europeans have it right?
I think that they get things right.
Have you ever submitted...
So, after hearing that clip, you probably guessed that we're going to be talking about regulation next. Let's not kid ourselves. Governments all over the world would love to regulate Facebook. Dozens of politicians in the US alone have been very, very vocal about how they'd like to see Facebook and other social media platforms like Twitter kept in check by government forces. And that is something that's not going to happen anytime soon if Mark Zuckerberg gets his way. The truth is, there's going to be some form of regulation for social media platforms very soon or in the near future. With so many data breaches and hacks and private information falling into the wrong hands, not to mention government-level infiltration via social media and its data, there's going to be some kind of regulating body that comes into play to make sure that breaches don't keep happening. The question is, what kind will it be? It won't be government-based, at least not in the very near future. It will be some form of regulation, and the question is, what kind of regulation will that be? Based on what we heard last week, it looks like Facebook wants to work on organic regulation, which means that they're looking to empower users to be savvy enough to moderate their own privacy and their own information and what kind of content they put online. This is tough, or very tough, because mainly because of how diverse Facebook's user base is. But in a perfect world, this would be the most ideal scenario to go by. And if that fails, it sounds like Facebook wants to move into self-regulation, which means that they'll be doing exactly what they're doing now, but with more rules and more stringent guidelines, more manpower looking after content, better artificial intelligence, more AI, more algorithms, and of course, more responsibility on their part. Whether or not that actually happens is a different argument, but as of right now, it looks like Facebook will be pushed into some form of regulation, which might just mean they'll have to work slightly harder and by keeping content safer, but it's further regulation nonetheless. We've got more from Mark Zuckerberg's Congress testimony and some crucial notes that I pulled from the event coming up right after these messages, so stick around. Five for Fortune will be right back, BFM 89.9.
Breakfast for Masters, BFM 89.9.
Facebook now has evolved to a place where you are tracking everyone. But you're following Facebook users even after they log off of that platform and application. And you are collecting personal information on people who do not even have Facebook accounts. Isn't that right?
Congresswoman, I'm not sure. I don't think that that's what we're tracking.
No, you're collecting, you have already acknowledged that you are doing that for security purposes and commercial purposes. So you're collecting data outside of Facebook.
Congresswoman, the primary way that Facebook works is that people choose to share data. And they share
content. Primary way, but the other way that Facebook gathers data is you buy data from data brokers outside of the platform, correct?
Congresswoman, we just announced 2 weeks ago that we were going to stop interacting with data brokers.
And we are back on 5 for Fortune. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and we are talking about crucial notes and things we learned about Facebook and the future of online privacy based on what Facebook CEO and founder Mark Zuckerberg told Congress during his testimony last week. You just heard the clip about Facebook tracking users even when they are logged out or logged off, which is a bit creepy, isn't it? I'll admit it is a bit creepy. Let's discuss that as number 3 on today's list.
Number 3.
So, based on what Mark Zuckerberg said, we now know that Facebook tracks Facebook users even when they're not logged into Facebook or onto Facebook, and it's either for advertising reasons or it's for security reasons. Now, this isn't what most people want to hear, but both reasons actually make a lot of sense. Okay, so the part about ads is pretty straightforward, but the portion about security also checks out as well, because it kind of makes sure that you have to log into Facebook to view private data or data that users only want to share with their known circles or to the people that they choose to share them with and not to the public. So in order to do this, Facebook needs to track users who have logged out to make sure that they aren't scraping public data or they aren't getting data without being logged into the system. But what really surprised me during Zuckerberg's testimony is the fact that Facebook also tracks non-users' data as well, but in a very indirect way. So here's the thing that really creeped me out, or, you know, makes this story kind of iffy. Representative Kathy Castor pointed out during the testimony that Facebook tracks non-users as well. Although she couldn't get Zuckerberg to answer with a concrete yes or no, he did say that Facebook tracks certain data of non-users for security purposes. What security purposes, we don't know yet. Then she asked if they buy data from brokers outside the platform, if Facebook buys data from brokers that are outside the platform, and Zuckerberg said Facebook announced 2 weeks ago that it would no longer buy information from data brokers. Which is good, I guess, but it means that up to 2 weeks ago, they were harvesting data on non-Facebook users by acquiring information from data brokers. Now that's something to really think about. Anyway, before we move into number 4, let me ask you this. Would you pay to use Facebook? Because there might come a time when you might have to if you don't want to see ads or if you want to use the so-called premium version of the platform.
You said back then that Facebook would always be free. Is that still your objective?
Senator, yes. There will always be a version of Facebook that is free. It is our mission to try to help connect everyone around the world and to bring the world closer together. In order to do that, we believe that we need to offer a service that everyone can afford. And we're committed to doing that.
Number 4.
Sheryl Sandberg is Facebook's COO, and a couple of weeks ago she said that Facebook would need to have a paid model if users want to opt out of ads, meaning that you'd have to pay a subscription to remove all advertising from the platform, kind of like Spotify, or exactly like Spotify. Mark Zuckerberg didn't really elaborate on the subject much, but he also didn't say that Facebook was not working on a paid model. He basically said that there will be some form or some variation or some version of Facebook that is always free. Again, just like Spotify, in which you can use the free version and see advertising and get lower quality, or pay a premium and get higher quality and remove all advertising. Now, you're probably thinking this might never happen, because why would Facebook jeopardize its business model by making people pay for its services, right? Well, because its business model constantly comes under fire. Most people don't like the way their information is shared with advertisers, and some people just don't like to see ads. They don't like advertising. And the way things are going, and the way advertising and data sharing or audience targeting is constantly coming under pressure and under fire by people, especially with so many data leaks and data breaches in recent history, it looks like Facebook might not have any choice but to turn to a subscription-based business model. And you know, like any kind of business model or business change, there are pros and cons to making people subscribe. One, forcing people to pay a subscription fee to get a purer, cleaner version of the platform might alienate some users. But in a weird way, it also gives Facebook a premium edge or premium feel, which is probably what it needs moving forward or will need moving forward. And if that comes with a guarantee that user information is never shared because Facebook doesn't need to share it for targeting in the first place, then I'm guessing a lot of people will turn to this model to feel safer or maybe even to be less bombarded by so many ads online. As for Facebook, it's a huge change in terms of business, so it'll be interesting to see if and when they unveil a paid model or a subscription package service like this. Hey, if you're just tuning in and you miss any parts of this show, just remember that you can listen to this episode again in its entirety on the BFM app. And if you don't have the BFM app, you can get it for free on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Now, let's talk a bit about what this whole fiasco has done to Facebook. Oh, you know what? Let me rephrase that. Let's talk about what it has done for Facebook. Because if you thought that this has damaged Facebook's reputation and the social media giant is going downhill, well, it's not at all, because apparently Wall Street and investors love the publicity.
Number 5.
Okay, just listen to these numbers. According to CNN.com, Facebook stock has gained about 4.5% since the start of trading on Tuesday morning last week, and then it gained traction all through the testimony and finished higher than it was at the start of the week, even after Mark Zuckerberg was grilled by Congress. So this means that Zuckerberg, who owns more than 401.4 million shares in Facebook, became almost $3 billion US dollars richer in the few days that he spent answering dozens of representatives and Congress people. His stake in the company, in Facebook, is now worth about $66 billion, and according to real-time data tracked by Forbes, that makes him the 7th richest person in the world. So, what exactly does this mean? Well, a few things. First of all, investors and the major movers and shakers who have invested in Facebook obviously think that there's nothing the government or any regulating body can do to Facebook in the foreseeable future. They also clearly believe that Zuckerberg did well during the testimony and came out the winner, although even though it wasn't really a competition. Two, listening to Zuckerberg promise better privacy settings and more security and a lot of AI implementation, as well as a paid model subscription that could literally make the company billions and billions of dollars in additional income. All those things must have inspired investors even more, and Facebook's worth shot up even when its founder was being questioned for some seriously unethical practices. Also, obviously people believe that when Mark Zuckerberg says he'll do something, that he will do something. As for the rest of us who use Facebook, it'll be interesting to see how these plans pan out and how security either becomes a bigger issue or a complete non-issue on Facebook as Facebook makes these changes moving forward. Anyway, that is all the time that we have on today's show, but stick around because there are more stories about tech and privacy and Facebook, maybe about Facebook and business, coming up in a bit on Enterprise Biz Bytes. That's coming up at 12 o'clock right after some music and of course some messages. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on 5 for Fortune, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.